I'm wondering, it seems like we could come up with better examples of a non-pacifistic nature than September 11th. It seems like there's so much that could be done in terms of effectively attacking the system that wouldn't entail suicide, that wouldn't entail murdering. There are lots of simple little tactics that could be easily repeated to cause probably as much damage with less risk and less sacrifice, more joy. I don't wish to be singling out the action of September 11th as like the exemplary act.
Okay, that's what you think, and you sort of, in a very ambiguous and vague form, laid out why. But since you said there must be tactics that would blah, 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 name one.
I would say movements.
Movement's not a tactic. Movement's something you build in some fashion or another. We got movements all over the place. We got alphabet soup in terms of parties to go with the movements. We got all that. The question is what those movements are going to do. That's what tactics are about, and tactics are a fulfillment of a strategy. What's your strategy?
There's all kinds of sabotage actions that are taken by people on a regular basis that maybe don't get quite as much attention, but do cause a fair amount of damage, and people don't necessarily have to get caught, etc., or die in doing it. I guess I'm just pointing out.
Let me ask you a question. Are you morally outraged and opposed to the hanging of Adolf Eichmann by the state of Israel for his commanding participation in the Holocaust?
I don't really see how that's relevant, no.
Well, I'll explain how it's relevant. Just tell me how you feel about it.
I'm against capital punishment in all ways.
I think there's somebody else answering for this guy now. I do believe in collectivity, but let the man speak for himself. Okay, unless he's got a tapeworm, he's... You're not morally outraged. Okay. Then I suppose I would ask you the question, but that would be getting rhetorical at this point, of what's the difference... But the way I'll frame it is, how else do you bring all these little Eichmanns who'll be sitting on the upper floors of that building to some kind of justice? Little sabotage acts?
What about the janitors?
Yes, I know there were janitors there, and there were a couple kids in those airplanes, and I feel bad about the janitors, and I feel bad about the kids. I don't feel one bit worse about those two kids that were on the aircraft, though, than those 500,000 Iraqi babies who keep getting shoveled back while we talk about the innocence in the World Trade Center.
Thus far.
And how exactly you arrived at your analysis that had there been a quantitative increase in the magnitude of suffering in the third world kind of escapes me. It may change its pace, it may change its focus, but like water, it's going to seek its own level, and that level has been relatively constant, including during the Vietnam period. It did not go up appreciably because of the armed aggression that the United States was engaged in Southeast Asia. What you have to understand is this horror show is a constant out there. And we had an anti-war movement as long as it was an engagement of U.S. troops in Southeast Asia in a direct sense, partly because they were conscripting people and sent them over there so they could end up being casualties. That was a major incentive in having an anti-war movement, but it wasn't the only one. But with the withdrawal of U.S. ground troops, that anti-war movement diminished. In 1975, when the United States was still refusing, as it is today, to pay reparations that it agreed to in Geneva, there was no protest whatsoever. And everybody was supposedly calculating and calibrating their tactics and were motivated by the well-being of the people on the receiving end over in Southeast Asia, but their well-being wasn't even part of the calculus by the time it got to the aftermath of it. It was just eclipsed from consciousness. Such as the incipient anti-war movement during the Gulf War was just beginning to get off the ground, and then the war was over and it went away. Well, there have been 500,000 Iraqi children die as a result of the ongoing U.S. intervention in the years since, and you've frankly seen more attention committed to installing additional speed bumps in suburban neighborhoods than to the fate of those children. Well, this can serve the purpose if we stop repudiating and shoving it away like it's something that's horror. Hey, there's a message in this. Let's get the message and let's articulate the message rather than join the cheering section of CNN to explain how it was an unmitigated evil. And I know you didn't use that term, but we get close. I'm seeing all kinds of coverage now of the fate of Afghani women. And I'm not insensitive to the fate of Afghani women. I'm not a cheerleader for the Taliban. But I find it kind of peculiar in progressive circles there's a sudden interest in the fate of Afghani women when there hadn't been. Taliban's been around a while. Unremarked upon until all of a sudden there was a need to rationalize U.S. intervention, and somehow the left is doing its part to make the rationalization stick by saying, well, they were bad people and look, it's better to lot of the women. Leave that to Ted Koppel and people in the mass media. We don't need to do their work for them, but we are. We are. We need a sharp analysis, a clear analysis. If we're going to build a movement, as was suggested, it needs to be based upon principles of clarity of understanding, among other things. And this isn't going in that direction.